you are looking for a church that is committed to expositionally preaching the Word of God, we invite you to join us at the Escondido United Reformed Church for worship on Sundays. Our worship service times are 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. You can visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. Our address for worship is 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.
An antidote to our days of famine. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
We're all kind of naive to disagree about what really is happening behind the scenes and the things that we are being exposed to, the influences and the ideas that are directly attacking the Word of God. Attacking the Word and the place that the Lord has chosen to preserve His Word. Remember, in this first little letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul said that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth, meaning that this is where the truth is preserved. This is where God has chosen to preserve His truth, that it would be given and that people would hear. I've always thought Pearl Harbor provides us a kind of good picture of the danger of what can happen when we're not prepared. You know the story of Pearl Harbor. None of them listened to the warning signs. None of them took it seriously. And on the day when they least expected it, a Sunday, everyone was casually lounging, enjoying the sun, enjoying the day, relaxed. No one anticipated it, and little did they know that planes were about to hit them and bomb them, and it would just be a massacre, and they wouldn't be able to get any planes off the ground. In a similar sense, I think when I hear that story, you read these kind of stories about warfare and about warning signs and about being ready and what happens when people are not ready, I think 2 Timothy chapter 4 is that kind of sounding of the alarm to tell us not that things might happen, but to tell us that it is happening and things are going to happen and you better listen up. It's a really important chapter for that. It's telling us, don't be caught off guard. Don't miss what's really happening. Pay close attention. And here in this passage, we're given a whole section of how to fight this, how to ward off, how to protect the sheep from the onslaught of attacks that the devil is leveling against us. And obviously, you understand that this has immense implications tonight for elders and deacons, as the apostle here is writing and has his eye upon office bearers. He has his eye on the pastors. He has his eye on those who serve and the importance of what they're doing. To summarize the main point here of the apostle, we really do see it laid out at the end of verse 5, where it says, fulfill your ministry. I love that. There is a fulfilling of your ministry that has to take place tonight. That's the calling. Fulfill the ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ has set you apart to fulfill. Why? Because the time's short. In the whole scheme of things, the time is really short, and there are all sorts of things happening in the kingdom of darkness, all sorts of attacks that have the purpose of undoing and wreaking havoc on Christ's church and Christ's purpose to evangelize the nations and to save a multitude that no man can number. And if you haven't been exposed to it in your lifetime, if you're young, talk to many of the older brothers and sisters here who have. It's awful. It's awful when things go the way of the devil. And he gets in and, like a dirty dog, tracks mud all over a nice clean carpet. So here we are. The Lord is calling us tonight to seriously consider the office, because if we're not given to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints, If our priorities are all wrong, if we fail in our callings, if we take them lightly, we effectively open the door for the devil to come in and corrupt the very purpose for which we've gathered, and to defend and preserve the single depositive truth that is able to save those who believe. So tonight I pray that all of us would be renewed in the understanding of what we're doing, and that even further the elders and deacons would be encouraged and have a real sense of the weight of the calling that the Lord has placed upon you brothers. 2 Timothy 4 is fascinating. I've always loved this. It's one of my favorite passages to preach, because here Paul is ending his long ministry. Paul's almost done. And here he has this young pastor coming up, and I'm somewhat gray, and James looks so young tonight, but, you know, if I were an old guy and James were standing here, you know what a contrast that would be? Paul says, I finished the race. He says in this chapter, I finished it. You notice what he says here? I fought the good fight. And I love this last saying, I've kept the faith. I kept it. Now, he's not talking about justifying faith. He's talking about the deposit of Christian truth that's given to us. I have held on to it, and I fought my whole life to hold on to it. And I can say now that I'm at the very end, I've done it by God's grace. Paul's saying it's about over for him. He knows that. It's just been an incredible battle that he never expected. He never thought when he was being called to this, what he would have to endure and what he would have to go through. I mean, read 2 Corinthians 11 when he talks about being beaten and shipwrecked and stoned. And he was stoned at one point. I never thought it would go like this. I never fully understood it. I'm sure he would have said at the beginning. But here he is at the end. And he's looking back over the long course of the race that the Lord had given him to serve in the church. And he's taking it all in, and he's saying it was a battle. It's similar the other day to what they said about Henry Holloman. I thought it was such a really interesting statement that they have him in such a comfortable place right now. What a blessing of the Lord that we can have that. But they said that Henry, what he's experiencing right now is likened to a guy who's been working hard all day, and he's just wiped out, and they've laid him down in the bed, and you just feel, you're enjoying the moment of just taking a break from the utter exhaustion. And I thought, what a good picture, not only of his life, but also of the Christian life, isn't it? Here's Paul at the end, and the only thing that mattered now that he's moving on, now that he knows that he's going to be with the Lord, that he cares about the fact that the baton would be handed off, and that it would go forward, and that people would run well. The young ministers, the servants of the Lord would run well with it. Paul wrote this letter to Timothy in about the year AD 68, and we know that 2 years later, he would be crucified by that bloodthirsty emperor Nero. And it would be an awful persecution, and Paul would be martyred. It's about over. He says here at the end, I fulfilled it. I just think, what an amazing thing. After a life that you could say, you know, not only I've preached the whole counsel of God, I have fulfilled the ministry he gave for me. So here he is, and no matter what the world would do to him at this point, all that he cared about was that the Word of God would continue to go forth. In 2 Corinthians 11, which I already mentioned, he talked about being weariness and in toil and in sleeplessness often. Ministers will go through that. James, you will go through that. Maybe not hunger and thirst, depending on whether you are sent to China. Just depends. Fastings often, cold and nakedness. Besides these other things, this was the biggest thing for Paul. What comes upon me daily is my deep concern for all the churches. I bleed for the churches. I'm concerned for the churches. I'm worried about the churches in the right way. Therein lies the burden of the servants of the Lord, by the way, all of you. If you don't have a burden for Christ Church, you can't do this. It's a burden. It's a concern for the churches that the Lord places for the protection and the longing of the salvation of the sheep. That's why we're here. That's why we're doing this. The Lord had commissioned him with this great purpose. And remember what that purpose was. The apostle would outline this constantly in these little epistles to the different churches. But there was one particular emphasis that he always had, that he always maintained, that it was to preach the word in such a way that the people would be saved. Paul had this stewardship from God. And knowing the grace that he had received, in Colossians chapter 1, Paul said something that I believe is just the summary of all serving in Christ's church. I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. And then he goes on to say this, that my mission is to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. I want that. That's my goal. It's my mission. And so in coming to grips with how far the Lord had pulled the Apostle Paul, who was once a murderer, by the way, and a stoner of the Christians, he pulled him off that path of destruction and motivating him to give the same grace that he had received, to preach the same grace that he had received to others. But now it's at an end, and his concern as he sees death approaching is this. In the previous chapter, he warned that in the last days, before Christ comes, perilous times will come. I've never known how best to translate that. I've never known how best to make that as powerful as it really is. I like the phrase, dangerous seasons. I'm telling you that before Christ comes, there are going to be dangerous seasons, perilous times. He warned of those who would rise up, and they would have a form of godliness, but that they would deny its power. And he's concerned in the last section that he would say that evil men and imposters, and we're not talking about those from the outside, those from the in, will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. This is no game, is it? No game. And he's looking at Timothy, and he's given the single great charge to him to think about this, and here it is. Here's the single great charge of everything that he's been building to, everything that he's been working toward, everything he's been laboring to train this young minister. And notice what he says in verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, preach the word. Boy, that is just a simple, clear mission statement of what we're doing. Paul is motivated here because he says Jesus Christ is coming soon, and he's coming for judgment, and he's saying, you've got souls entrusted to you. You just preach that word. I pause today and I say, well, now you understand how important this is for elders and deacons. This comes as a charge to a pastor, but what is the function of the elders? What is the function of the deacons? Well, elders are set apart to oversee the what? Number one responsibility, the ministry of the word, the preaching of the word. And what are the deacons set apart to do? To provide relief in showing the ministry of mercy of Christ to others so that the elders and the pastor remain unhindered in ministering the word. So you get that? In other words, both of your offices tonight exist to make and provide a way that people would hear the word of God. That's it. That's your sole great purpose. Without the word, everything else you do is pointless. Everything. So this charge is to a pastor. Here it's being made possible by faithful men who are set apart to do this. This is why Paul said appoint elders in every city. This is why the office of the diaconate was set up. And that's how it has a direct bearing upon us tonight. Whatever he's saying here to the pastor has to apply to you, because without the proper oversight of it, you ever seen pastors run wild? I have. Not a good thing. We need you. And so there's three things here that you'll notice he says very clearly in charging this pastor, which applies directly to us tonight. What does he say first? Preach the word in season and out of season. If the calling for me is preach the word, what's the calling for you in that? Uphold the word. You watch that word. You watch that pastor who's preaching that word. The greatest responsibility here is this, because the Apostle Paul is saying, and he's telling us under the inspiration of the Spirit, that this is the sole focal point of Christian ministry. It pleased God over and over and over. I mean, how many times have we rehearsed this? It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. And let me just tell you, if there's anything that I've learned about the ministry in the 8 years that I've been here, it's that when this becomes the focal point of the church, when the preaching of the word becomes the focal point of the church, and all the other stuff isn't, I mean everything else, but the preaching of the word is the focal point, and people have become satisfied in that, there, in that place, you will see the greatest blessing of the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that's very common, and I'm not saying that's easy. I was talking with someone the other day who was telling me about their church, and they expressed to me, they said, you know, we've got so many competing ideas here of what we need to do to kickstart our church. Just not going well. And we were talking, and they went through a whole list of desires and things they wanted to get the church going. And it was interesting to me, the thing that never got mentioned was the preaching. My response was, listen, you get the most important priority right. You get the word of God central in your church. And everyone gets excited about coming to hear that word. And you get people coming up to the house of the Lord for that single great purpose when the centerpiece, which is a pulpit, by the way, when the centerpiece is in place and the Bible is resting there and the man of God is expositing that, all of your desires for something bigger and better will go away. I promise you. They're gone. You're not going to be talking about a better praise song. You're just not. It's over. You're satisfied in the most important thing that the Lord has put in place in the most important thing. When the preaching of the word is what it should be, so it is so satisfying to the people, it is so fulfilling. It's like a giant meal that the Lord has spread for you, and you're eating it, and you're digesting it, and you're going home Sunday nights full. And you want more. You've tasted the power as you should. So that's the first thing. Do everything you can to uphold that. Second, what does he say? Be ready in season and out of season. In other words, be ready with the word, right? Know the word, love the word, read the word. As the pastor preaches the word, that word is being used to speak to God's people in a variety of different ways. And there are times, notice what he says, in season and out of season. You ever wonder what that means? There are times when the word of God is going to be really welcomed. And there are going to be times it's not. I mean, if you want to know the times it's not, if we had old brother Isaiah here, he would tell you about that. What the Lord does is put a burden on the heart of his ministers to preach the word and what they're supposed to say. And as the minister works through that text and preaches that, I've experienced this. I've experienced that the Lord is constantly taking his word and applying it to the needs of the congregation, carrying me the whole way through, even when I'm going through books, knowing just what you need right at the right time. And if you ever notice the connection between the morning and the evening as we preach books of the Bible, lo and behold, how they're constantly together. I'm not doing that. I'm not that bright. Sometimes I've gone home and wept, by the way, because what I've had to say has been so utterly hard, and I've had to say it, and it's been terribly trying on me. Other times I'm on cloud nine and I want to talk to everyone about it. And the comfort and encouragement that comes is just wonderful. Welcomed or not, preach it. The word's cut in two ways, right? Cutting two ways. So then number three. So you see what he says here. Be ready with the word. Uphold the word. And then number three, use the word. He says, convince, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Get that? This is the part that I'm not sure we do the best we could with. That the word of God and the congregation, that these elders are set apart. Did you notice what their job is to do? Correct you. Reprove you. Exhort. You have to receive that. These are God's servants set apart to do that for you. And how are they to do it? With all long-suffering. It means to abide under, giving a sense of perseverance, enduring in the reproving, because sheep are really stubborn, starting right with us, right? So this is the outline here, that God's people would be instructed in righteousness, that the man of God would be thoroughly equipped for every good work, that we would grow in our love for the word, that we would love the word. Just keep that simple charge in front of you. Pastor, preach it. Elders, uphold it. Deacons, see that you give way so that the elders and the pastor can be unhindered in doing it. You're going to have a beautiful, powerful church with a lot going on. Okay, we get it. What I want to focus on is why this is so important. Paul's not writing this for Timothy's sake only. He's writing this for you tonight in 2012. The Spirit is, because all of this becomes a grand encouragement to continue in something that is immensely difficult to do. The calling's simple. The application of it isn't. I love what William Hendrickson says. Let him speak out while people are still willing to listen, because they will not always be willing to listen. Look at verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. He says there are times, there are epochs, there are seasons of distress that are coming. And he's telling them, listen, remember, good seasons, bad seasons, you just keep preaching. When the things are really good, keep preaching. When the things are really bad, keep preaching. And now he gets to the out of season. He gets to the real big out of season time that's going to come. He says in chapter 3, verse 1, look back to chapter 3, verse 1 for a minute. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times, dangerous seasons will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. Their interest is for their own glory. Lovers of money. They're worldly. Boasters, proud. They don't submit their lives to Christ. Blasphemers, they speak out against the word. Disobedient to parents, that has the sense of disdain for the previous generation. They write off everything they've heard. They are unthankful, unholy, unloving. They are irreconcilable, is how it reads. They are in disputes with brothers, and they don't care to get it fixed. They slander. They're without self-control. They're brutal. They're despisers of good. They're traitors. They're headstrong. They just can't receive any correction. They're haughty. They're lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And he says outwardly they look good. They have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. It's not real. It's not on the inside. He gives all that. But then in chapter 4, he comes to the most dangerous season in the life of the church. And that's what I'm focusing on tonight. The most dangerous epoch, the most dangerous time that arises. And what does he say? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There's going to come a time when the truth will not matter. Here's what you can expect. Here's what you're going to see. You will undoubtedly face a time in the service of Christ's church when those who say they listened before will no longer put up with, no longer listen to the soundness of Christian doctrine.
Well, we're grateful that you've taken the time to tune in today to Abounding Grace Radio. If you'd like to hear more preaching like this, you're welcome to join us at the Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Visit our website at agradio.org. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of its glory, continue to richly bless you. We hope you enjoyed the program today on Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, the preaching pastor here at the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you would like to hear more of these teachings each and every Sunday, you can join us for worship 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. Our address is 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. www.escondidourc.org is the website. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.